our first reading is from 1 Peter 1 and starting at verse 19. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Our next reading is taken from Colossians 1 and starting at verse 15 to 23. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Thank you, Ian.
Thanks, Joanna. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Are you all set? 2 weeks to... Ready for the big day? It's one of those questions... It gets to the beginning of December, and then suddenly whenever you meet people, they always ask the same question. Are you ready for Christmas? I have to say, I don't think I'm ever ready for Christmas. Because we have, for one thing, we have so much happening around here. Just in this last week, we were part of the Preston North End Carol service. It was great to see some of you there on that cold night. During this last week, we've seen the hampers going out, and a couple of weeks before that, all the Heart magazines going out. And I just want to say a massive thank you if you got involved with either of those in any way. We just could not do it without you. And I've had the massive privilege this week of going and knocking on a couple of people's doors with this basket full of goodies and kind of going, please be in, please be in. And they open the door and they look at you as if you've kind of lost the plot a little bit, because you're there with a washing basket full of stuff, and just to be able to hand it over and say, bless you, and they go, why? It's like, because we can, and we want to, and it's just brilliant, and I love it. But I don't know about you, but I always feel that you're always playing catch-up in trying to get ready for Christmas. But I want you to know tonight, God has already got it all planned. It's all sorted. Christmas is sorted as far as God's concerned. He has got it all under control. Wouldn't it be great to just know that you could just, Christmas Day just happens. You don't have to do any planning or preparation. But I don't necessarily mean it in that way. Because as Joanna's just read to us, since the beginning, God has planned Christmas. Not all the hype, not all the decorations, not all the trimmings, not the lovely Christmas tree, although I wish he would have done, because it took three of us the other night a lot of effort to get that thing to stay there. but that it would be the time of Emmanuel, of God actually being with us here on earth. And for many of us, our Christmas probably does feature the manger with the baby Jesus sitting inside it. But then as we get closer to Christmas Day, we start to think more about the presents we've got to wrap and get sorted. And then, you know, the other trimmings and the decorations and the food and the cards we've still got to write, which, by the way, if you've not written them for people at church, today's the last day of the Christmas post. So you're going to have to sneak them in the week sometime, or on the carol service next week when nobody's looking, if you want to get them out to people. Which, by the way, reminds me, when I got the post box down, I found a couple of cards in there from last year. So if you've got two cards from someone this year, don't panic. It's my fault. And if you're thinking, why didn't they give me one last year and now they're giving me two? Now you know why it is. But as we finish all our plans and our preparations, we can get to that point where we don't even see the manger at all. It's just hidden behind the tree, the trimmings, the decorations, the presents, the food, the drink, whatever, the office party, whatever it is. That without realizing, we're actually losing sight of what it's actually meant to be about. And when that happens, Jesus isn't necessarily allowed to make any impact on our Christmas at all. That the real Jesus, the real reason we're supposed to be celebrating, gets completely covered by everything else. All the trappings of this festive season. And I don't know if you've heard about, there's a guy called Andy Park, whose nickname is Mr. Christmas. And I don't know if you've ever come across this guy. But this man celebrates Christmas Day every single day of the year. And for the last 22 years, has celebrated Christmas Day every day of the year. Why? And how does he manage to keep celebrating? Well, the reality of the situation is, as of last year's Boxing Day, that was the last time he celebrated it every single day. But he got to a point in his life where he was having a really low day, and he thought, what actually makes me feel really good? And he thought, Christmas makes me feel good. And this was in July. And so he decided, I'm going to celebrate Christmas every day. So every single day, he would get up, he would have breakfast of a couple of mince pies and a glass of sherry. He would then unwrap the presents that he'd bought himself the day before. Now, most days, it was only something small, but the biggest present he had ever bought himself was actually a brand new Mercedes. All the presents were for himself. He has full Christmas dinner, would then go out and do a little bit of work. He's a self-employed electrician, but always makes sure that he could manage to fit his jobs around coming back for the 3 o'clock Queen's speech, and he's recorded every single year of the Queen's speech and picks out his favorite ones and watches them every single day, or was doing it for 22 years. So why is he now giving it up? Because he found out Christmas was going to kill him or make him bankrupt. Because when you eat a full Christmas dinner every single day of the year, you suddenly find you put 9 stone in weight on. You suddenly find that buying yourself presents that you realize you don't actually need doesn't fulfill whatever pain or sorrow or loneliness is going on. And he suddenly realized that his grown-up daughter was now starting to want to come round to the house less. And it was actually really hard to find someone to have a relationship with because he was celebrating Christmas in the middle of summer. And the question I want to ask is, what is he actually celebrating? Every single day, for 22 years, what's it all about? My prayer, and for many of us here at this church, is that for this Christmas, is not about all the trimmings, not about all the stuff that we feel we have to have at Christmas, but that you personally know the joy and peace of Christmas that is only found through Jesus Christ. That we find, you find Jesus this Christmas time as the greatest gift that you could ever receive for yourself. That you come to understand who he really is. That he's not just this lovely little baby, but as we heard in the readings tonight, that he is the Lord of creation. He is the maker and sustainer of all things. For as it said in Colossians 1:16, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And if you look at John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And what amazes me, and I keep coming back to this, and I can't get my head around it, is that Jesus, who was there right at the beginning, allows himself to become this baby whose bed is a manger. That the creator of all things allows his creation to look after him. That he looks out through the eyes of a baby and looks at Mary and Joseph. The one who was there right at the beginning is now being cradled and nursed by this young teenage girl who is his mother. The Word becomes flesh and makes his dwelling among us. And as John goes on to write, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Just the very fact that he left all that he had and steps down into our world and becomes the weakest and most dependent, allows himself to become this baby that actually has to have somebody looking after him and dressing him and clothing him. And it probably to you might sound like foolishness. How can this be part of a great plan of God to rescue his creation? Yet it was that this was part of God's plan from the very beginning. And even that I don't fully understand. Why did he allow us to be created? Why did he give us choice? If he knew that in the very beginning, he was going to have to set up a rescue plan in case or when we turned away from him. And that this very first Christmas is a demonstration of the nature of our God. That it's about humility and gentleness instead of violence and might. True strength is not shown by ultimate power, but by taking on this humble nature of a baby. So this was the plan for us this Christmas, that we learn from him and learn how to be like him in his gentleness and humility. That this Christmas we might actually demonstrate some of the love that God has shown us. That we might show the love of Christ to all we meet. But much more than this, to a world that is lost and in chaos. that is lost in this self-centered indulgence of what Christmas is becoming. That we are able to share the salvation of the servant king that is on offer to them as much as it is to us this Christmas. That this is a rescue plan for all, and it's planned by God right from the very beginning of creation. That everyone should be able to come back to God. A new baby completely changes the lives of its parents. This baby came to completely change the whole of mankind. There was no other baby like this one, because this was the Son of God. And I don't know what plans you've made for Christmas, but your plans may not work out. You may burn the turkey. The Christmas pudding may actually just completely go up in flames. That present you've been dropping hints about to your loved ones may not actually transpire when you open the gift. We all do it at times, don't we? We get a gift, and as we open it, we look at what is inside and we think, what on earth? And you do that face, oh, great. Yeah. Now realized I'm digging a very deep hole. We'll move swiftly on. Something gone warm in here. But for you as well, you have may even have yet to have a Christmas that is as you've ever hoped it would be. But God has a plan for you this Christmas. He wants to be at the center of everything about your Christmas. But he waits for you to allow him to be at the center. Because God's plan for creation is to rule over his creation in a way that demonstrates his glory and his love and his grace and his compassion. His plan for creation involves both his lordship, which is where he is ruling over all, but also of salvation, which is why he gives us Jesus to pay the price for every single one of us. That he died and he rose again, so that nothing can separate us from God. That this Messiah came to save us from our sins. And that he will come again to establish his rule over a fallen world. That when we turn back to him and turn to him in faith, that we understand that we receive him as Savior and Lord. That we are restored. That we are reconciled. That we are transformed into his likeness. Back to where we were created to be. Walking with God every single day. That it actually does feel like Christmas every single day. Not because we're getting up and eating mince pies, and maybe having a glass of sherry, but I'll leave that up to you. Not that we're giving ourselves presents, but that we have the joy that is the hope of salvation every single day. You see, God's plan should shape our plans, not the other way around. As he revealed his plan in this amazing story in the Nativity, we see that every single person in that story in some way had to change their plans. Whether it was Zechariah as a priest, suddenly finding that he was being told his wife was going to have a baby and he didn't quite believe it and he couldn't speak. Through to Mary, this young teenage girl who had plans of this quiet little wedding to the man that she was betrothed to, suddenly being faced with an angel who tells her she's going to give birth to a son. But that in both of those situations and all other ones, that these people suddenly see the glory of God in some way. And each of them is coming to a point where they're realizing that the only place where they're going to find faith and hope is in God alone. So I want you to know tonight, folks, that God has already made plans for you to have the best Christmas ever. He has already put everything in place. And this year has been an interesting year. Whether it's Brexit, Trump, Aleppo, or even Turkey in the last couple of days, we are seeing this world ever increasingly fall into chaos. God has neither been surprised or shocked, and is fully committed to his rescue plan. He will not falter. He will not fail. And as we enter into this Christmas season and hope for better news in 2017, what will dominate your heart and your mind? What we see time and again is through the Nativity story is the angels reassuring the people they were bringing the message to by saying, "Don't be afraid. We bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." If the angels descended tonight, they would say something similar. Do not be afraid. And Jesus would say to us, "Be my witnesses. Tell of what it means for God to be the one of us and to be with us. Embody Emmanuel, that God is really with us. Share this gift that you can receive for yourself tonight. Because this is the only deeply satisfying present we can ever give, we can give this Christmas to others. The knowledge that God is for us, that God has given his Son for you and for me. So let this Christmas be where we are part of the plan to see that our nation sees that there is a hope, that our nation hears that there is good news, that our nation will see Jesus, that our nation will see Christmas as God plans it to be. But that means there's got to be a change in each of our hearts. The theologian A.W. Tozer once said, "Inside every human heart are a cross and a throne. Whenever I put myself on the throne, I put Jesus on the cross." Who's on the throne of your life tonight? Jesus gave up his throne in heaven to have a new throne of a manger, to then go to the cross for you and for me. Is he on the throne of your life tonight? Paul in Galatians 2:20 said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Is this the time for you to swap places with Jesus and let him be on the throne while you go to the cross? Because Jesus has already gone to the cross for you. Now his rightful place is on the throne of your life. But he waits for you to invite him to that place. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you and I praise you. And I'm lost in the wonder that you have already planned everything about Christmas for us. Lord God, I thank you that you already placed before us the way to come back to you. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you humbled yourself to walk amongst us, to be raised from a baby, to become the man who would go to the cross as the Son of God for each and every one of us. Lord God, for myself and my brothers and sisters here tonight, may we, each of us, place you on the throne of our lives, in our hearts tonight. That this Christmas we might experience you like we never have before. Because yours is the power and the authority. That you are the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And yet you wait for us to invite you in. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. The band are going to lead us in worship, but for you tonight, you may just feel that you want someone to pray with you. There's some seats over at the back and there'll be people willing to pray with you tonight. Can I encourage you to seek to place Jesus on the throne in your life tonight? God bless you.